with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are rocking and rolling on this Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We got plenty of headlines coming out of OTAs and mandatory minicamp in the NFL. A great guest list today as well. In about 30 minutes, we'll have VSiN's own Adam Burke join us. It's never too early to talk survivor pools. Also, Jets reporter Brian Costello is going to hop on the progressive guest line at the end of hour one and in hour two. Best bets in the NBA and Stanley Cup final with Harry Gagnon, who, Michael, I believe is back in the country, but we never really know with
our
international man.
Yeah, I mean, look, Springsteen's in Colts Neck. I see no reason why Harry has to be in Europe if Bruce is in Colts Neck, New Jersey, 60 miles from me. So, I mean, unless he's just living life over there, you know, doing the good thing. I don't know. I mean, it's be nice to come back as Harry, don't you think?
It would. I'm glad you're on top of the Bruce schedule, though, so we always really
know his schedule everywhere. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to run into him. I got to have to go to the Freehold Diner or somewhere. But I got to get away from it, but it's too hard. But I'm working on it, Stormy. I am secretly stalking the man, yes.
It'll happen. Don't worry. And while you're trying to get away from that, something we can't get away from is all of the headlines and sound bites that are coming out of these mandatory minicamps and OTAs. And I want to start in Miami, a team you actually wrote about on the website this week. Make sure you check out Michael's latest column at VSiN.com. It went live this morning. But Tua Tagovailoa, of course, entering the final year of his rookie contract. We all expect he's going to get paid. He was asked by reporters yesterday about the contract. Tua, how you feeling?
I mean, I'm not blind to people that, you know, are in my position that are getting paid. Am I concerned about it? I'm not concerned about it. The market is the market. If we didn't have a market, then none of that would matter. It'd just be an organizational thing. You know, didn't matter if that guy got paid that, because it's up to the organization. So that's what I would say. The market is the market. That's it.
Are you confident that a deal will get done before training camp?
I'm confident that a deal would get done.
And he's not wrong, Michael. We know Chris Greer wants to get a long-term deal with him done, whether it's the right thing or not. And the market is what the market is right now.
It is. He knows it. I mean, I bet you if somebody would have followed up and said, well, what is the market, Tua? He would have said, well, let's see, you know, Joe Burrow's at 55, Herbert's at 50, 52 and a half, Lamar's at 53. He probably would have given it to you down to the incentives. He knows it. Mm-hmm. He knows that's what it is. And I love how he positioned himself. And clearly his agent, Lee Steinberg, told him exactly what to say. The market is the market. That's the negotiating tool. See, when you decide to get out of the arena of, is this player good? Is that player not good? Which is where we all kind of live our lives. Dak Prescott's not worth it. And, you know, this guy's not worth it. Well, when you focus back on what the market is the market. And you may not agree that Dak shouldn't be the highest paid quarterback, or you may not agree that Tua should get 50 plus million. I certainly don't, but the market is the market. And that's where you lose the negotiation. You can't defend that. You can't reestablish the quarterback market, because you could say, well, Herbert's never won a Super Bowl. Okay, he's never won. The market's the market. He got 52 and a half.
And that's the world that we're living in right now with the elevated salary cap. Tua, of course, led the NFL this past year with 4,624 yards, a career high 69% completion percentage, career high 29 touchdowns, in large part due to the career high number of games he played. He was durable last year. He put on the weight. He did the jiu-jitsu classes or whatever it is to know that he was falling properly. But then he shows up to camp this year with a thinner, slighter frame, which I know we're going to talk about a lot more a little bit later on. Tyreek Hill even joked that he's on Ozempic because he showed up so much skinnier than he anticipated. Speaking of Tyreek Hill, though, so with Justin Jefferson getting his contract done earlier this week, it certainly had Drew Rosenhaus, his mouth watering to get a new bump for his star client and wide receiver Tyreek Hill. Here's Hill with reporters yesterday at minicamp regarding his situation.
About the contract situation, you know what? I'm going to let my agent do his job. That's his job, man. His job is to be great at that, and my job is obviously, you know, to come out here and continue to do whatever I can to to help this team win, whether that's a restructure, whether that's whatever the case may be. Ensuring I'm a Dolphin for life, that's number one, man. That's priority number one, man. But this is obviously the best situation for myself and the family. But I don't think it could get any better.
I love that, though. You go from Tua, who says the market is the market, and then you have that standpoint from Tyreek Hill, who, by the way, also later on said, I know being greedy doesn't help the team.
Well, yeah, but he also knows that he's the best receiver. Like, you know, I know Jefferson's great, but he also knows he tilts the field. I mean, in the article that we'll talk about later, 77% of the catches are between Waddle and Hill. That's the offense, right? Yeah. I said there's 80% of the offense goes through them. And so, you know, you lose either one of those two guys, it's not going to happen. So, yeah, and he changes the game for everybody. You know, one thing I also wrote about is we know the plays that are coming from the Miami offense. They're not complicated, but they're hard to stop because of him and because of the talent that he brings, and the ball comes out so quick and he's so damn good with it after the catch. I wish you could have watched him be a running back at Oklahoma State. I mean, this wasn't some kid that the Chiefs uncovered out of West Alabama or got thrown out of Akron. He couldn't get into school once he got thrown out of Oklahoma State. But he was a talented running back at Oklahoma State with power. Now, give Andy Reid full credit for turning him into a receiver. And you know, and they took a big risk on him based on his off-the-field activity, where he was off of, I would say, 30 other boards. Only the Raiders and the Chiefs had him on their board.
Yeah. And Tyreek, as far as the on-field skill, is going to have success with anyone and any quarterback. But Tua, conversely, he needs Tyreek Hill. He needs Jalen Waddle. He needs these people. It's not a secret, right? And so his success is directly correlated, I feel like, with these top-tier wide receivers and talent being on the field.
And it's directly correlated to the offense. It's to the RPO offense. I mean, when you watch the games at the end of the year, when you study the Miami teams and you look at the offense that they were unable to, the defenses that they couldn't really maneuver, especially later in the season, once people got an idea about what they were trying to accomplish, you look at it week 17. I mean, they played the Chiefs twice in week, I think, 16, and then in the playoffs, and they never got 200 yards passing in either game. Mm-hmm. They never did. Now you could say, well, they were hurt. They were hurt on defense. They weren't hurt on offense. And so they could never get that going. And I think when they played against good teams later in the year, Buffalo, you know, when they played against those teams, they had a hard time. Now, is that because they are, you know, not practicing as hard, or is that because people catch up to the offense? I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. Lost to Buffalo, lost badly in Baltimore, won a close game barely against the Dallas Cowboys, and of course lost that wild card game against the Kansas City Chiefs to start the playoffs. So they lost, what, four of their last six games to close out the end of the season.
Yeah.
Speaking of that Dallas Cowboys team, Micah Parsons also showed up to mandatory minicamp in Dallas yesterday. We know he missed OTAs, but he said a lot of that was due to letting his body heal up correctly this offseason. Here's Micah Parsons.
I mean, there was a time where Aaron Donald didn't even go to camp and he won Defense Player of the Year and he realized his team in the playoffs. Like, are we forgetting these times? I'm just looking at a time for my body to heal. I'm an undersized rusher who's gets banged up every year. So I'm just letting my body heal. I'm just trying to grow, strengthen, and really just get ready for the year.
With CeeDee handling his business, you had him on the podcast and you guys talked about it. Just how do you kind of view his situation?
I mean, CD about to hit the brink truck. He about to get his, you know.
Is the brink truck coming for you?
I mean, one day, time will tell. You know, I can't really put a timetable on mine. All I got to do is keep getting sacks, and, you know, that stuff's going to handle itself.
They're both getting the Brinks truck, Michael. So Micah Parsons, as expected, he is there, and I think that's important where a CD is not right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, CD's going to he just throws $100,000 out the window. I mean, understand these guys. Lamar throws $750,000 out the window for not showing up to the OTAs. Like, seriously? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I mean, when does I could see him throwing out the window. $7,500, not a good idea. $750,000, that's a stupid thing to do, but this is what guys do, you know? Why put it in the contract if you're not going to show up? Like, wouldn't you think they would say to their agent, I'm not coming, so why, you know? I just think it's a stupid holdout. These holdouts, like, you know, Ayuk, you're just giving $100,000 away. It's not going to affect the negotiation. The reason you don't show up is a cause. And what's the effect of that cause? And in these cases, it's zero. I mean, you could just listen to what Parsons is a businessman. He gets it, right?
Yeah.
He knows that Aaron Donald didn't come to camp. He knows all those things. Like, he's ready for the stupid writers to ask stupid questions because he's got the answers. But why be stupid and give away $100,000 when you don't have to? Just show up and tell the coach, look, man, I'm hurting here. I don't feel right. My body's sore. They're going to let you go, but you're not going to give away $100,000. And then your holdout, oh, Jerry's probably sulking in Highland Park because CeeDee Lamb's not at practice. Are you kidding me?
What did, by the way, you make of the Aaron Donald comp that he threw out there, that he didn't show up and he still won Defensive Player of the Year? Parsons, of course, tied for the shortest shot to win Defensive Player of the Year this season at plus 550.
Yeah. Well, he wants to get paid like Donald did. I mean, that's the same thing that Bosa wanted. They wanted to be the top non-quarterback paid players in the league. Now, we can argue whether Jefferson is or not. Jefferson's new money indicates he is. If you combine Jefferson's old money with his new money, he's not. But that's a whole negotiation point. You can't convince the media once they go down that street. But clearly, Parsons is going to be in that $33 to $35 million per year if he continues to play. And he's smart enough to know, look, I got to stay healthy to get the money.
Now, we know Micah Parsons loves to talk. Maybe C.J. Stroud is taking a page out of that book. When we come back, Stroud said what about who? And is he right? That and more burning questions with a lot of these teams in mandatory
great
minicamp.
Tease,
we'll be
great
right
tease.
Back. Thanks, buddy. Thank
great
you.
Tease.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In addition to watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content at VSiN.com. Best bets from all of our show hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, and trends. And right now on the homepage, betting previews for both the NBA and Stanley Cup Finals. Whether you're looking for series plays and props or game-by-game breakdowns, we've got you covered. Plus, Michael's got a new column live this morning, Why the Miami Dolphins Should Be Concerned for 2024. We'll take a deep dive into Miami to kick off Hour 2, but there are a handful of other teams with mandatory mini camps underway this week, and there are burning questions on the top of my mind for all of them. And we're going to start with the Houston Texans, Michael, because CJ Stroud has been talking a lot this past week, and we have a wonderful.
It's kind of rubbing you the wrong way, isn't it? Usually it rubs me the wrong way. I think this is rubbing you the wrong way, don't you think? I mean, you're kind of would like them just to be quiet. I get the feeling, huh?
There's something about active players talking about other active players that just rubs me a little bit the wrong way, a touch. So here's a collection of sound bites from our young stud from the Houston Texans on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast this week. Take a listen.
Final five. I know what I'm doing, dog. Mahomes, Lamar, myself, Dak.
Joey B.
He didn't really play last year.
I'll play.
And then it hurts. Stafford, a dog.
He bro. Is a dog.
No, you don't understand, bro. You saying that. If you give Matthew Stafford a chance like Aaron Rodgers, I guarantee he might have had more rings, for sure. We don't know how Aaron Rodgers treats his teammates, but you can guarantee that Tom Brady treats his teammates right because how he got them rings.
Okay, so he ranks active players in who he thinks are the best quarterbacks, obviously includes himself at number three in that list. He talks about Aaron Rodgers, who he has to play head-to-head later on this season in primetime on Halloween. There's a lot of things here. So my burning question to you, Michael, is C.J. Stroud getting too big of a head here? Is he getting a little too ahead of himself? How does he avoid the sophomore slump? And I don't know. He's doing a lot of talking, Michael.
Yeah, I don't think he realizes, I really don't think anybody in Houston realizes the storm that awaits them. And it's not a storm that's personal. It's just a storm that usually occurs for any team that wants to go from good to great. look, they were good last year. They weren't great. They played a fourth place schedule. They lost in Carolina to Carolina with Stroud playing quarterback. They were fortunate. They deserve all the accolades they could get. But last year's last year, right? Indianapolis has them on the verge of beating them with Gardner Minshew as the backup quarterback. I know they destroyed Cleveland in that playoff game. Good for them. But the storm that awaits them, Stormy, is we're all ready for you. We're not taking you lightly. If you want to be a dog, you're going to have to be able to beat the good teams week in and week out. And beating Jacksonville twice or beating, you know, a Tennessee twice. Think about it. Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Indy were not great teams last year. There's six wins you get in that conference if you just play half decent. So I think he should tone it down a little bit. But there's a euphoria that runs with a team that has never won before. They're becoming a little bit like the Jets. All of a sudden, we're just going to give them the Super Bowl, just put them in it. I think it's a little harder than that.
He's tied for the second shortest shot on the odds board to win MVP this year at plus 850. And I like CJ Stroud. I'm a fan. He had a historic, unbelievable rookie season that ended up in an offensive rookie of the year win campaign. I think that the Texans are going to be good, and they've invested a lot in that team to support their young quarterback while he's on his rookie contract. So I like the Houston Texans. I like CJ Stroud. I just worry that now he's putting an even bigger target on his back. And when it comes to, let's say Aaron Rodgers, for example, when we do get to that game later on in the season where the Jets are a 3-point favorite here early in that game at home, how much does Rodgers love having people on his bleep list and proving them wrong, right? Oh, you want to draft Jordan Love? Cool. I'm just going to have two MVP back-to-back seasons, right? Like, this is the mentality that Aaron Rodgers has. When you look at the Tom Brady comp, and now he talked about the mentorship that he is appreciated he's had from Tom Brady. Why does Tom Brady have a target on his back? Because he's the greatest of all time. He didn't have a target on his back because he was talking smack in a podcast. So, you know, those are just the things that run through my mind. And I like CJ Stroud. I want him to have success, but he's doing a lot of talking for just 1 year of experience in the NFL. Texans Super Bowl odds sitting at 16-1. Stroud, as I mentioned, plus 850. The Jets, because for sake of argument, since we're bringing Aaron Rodgers into this conversation, 20-1 for their Super Bowl odds. His MVP, 16-1. He also said, by the way, that if he had to choose a career between Aaron Rodgers or Eli Manning, he would pick Manning's. And that is something that I actually did find interesting and liked out of all of this, is that he's like, no, the team wins the Super Bowls, the Super Bowl MVPs. That's more important to me than the individual accolades and the regular season MVP.
I love that. That is, and he's right. Absolutely. He's 1,000% correct.
All right, let's go to more burning questions with the Philadelphia Eagles, who I know you love to talk about so much. My number one burning question: how will Kellen Moore's offensive plan mesh with Jalen Hurts, and will this offense get back to its 2022 explosive form?
You know, I think they will, because here's why. Money talks, and they put money into Saquon. You know, they put money into Saquon, and they're going back to, and Saquon's rush numbers are under what Miles Sanders achieved for them 2 years ago. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. I know they lost Jason Kelce. I mean, Jason Kelce is a really good player, and there's no question. But they're going to be okay without Kelce. They will. Now, it'll be a little bit of a learning curve with Dickinson in terms of making the calls, because Kelce was very good at being in the right protection. He took a lot of responsibility off Hurts' plate in terms of getting in the right call, audibling to the quarterback draw, doing all the things he needs to do. But I think this team will still run the ball really effectively, and that'll lend itself to play action pass. And then I think that'll allow them to build the lead to help their defense rush the passer.
Okay, we'll see if Joystick can turn this thing around. The Eagles are a plus 115 favorite in the NFC East, 7-1 in the NFC, the third shortest shot behind only San Francisco and Detroit. How about the Chicago Bears, who have a new young stud, number one overall pick, a quarterback in Caleb Williams? My question, can Williams be the guy, and I guess I got to do part two, can the defense pick up where they left off at the end of last season as well?
Well, I think that's the question. Now, you know, part of my what's on my mind, and we'll talk about in the next hour, is all these reports we get out of training camps and, you know, who's playing well and who's throwing the ball all over the place. And we heard about it, and the Bears' two-minute defense wasn't good. Look, it's all meaningless. But, you know, I think that's the fundamental question. When the Bears' defense at the end of the year had to go into Green Bay and play well, they didn't. So we'll see if they've improved. Now, I listened to what Ryan Poles said. I mean, Ryan Poles, if he would have had the second pick in the draft, would have picked Adunze. I mean, there's no question that they think Adunze is going to be the greatest receiver in football. There's no question. They didn't even contemplate taking a defensive player there. And you could just listen to how excited he was. We'll see. How many plays can he play with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen there? It's going to be fascinating. If he's as good as Poles believes he is, he should start over those guys. Because if that's rare, rare doesn't wait.
Yeah. I know the defense struggled in that game against Green Bay, but they still only allowed 17 points. And looking through that back end of the season, those last eight games that everybody continues to reference because they won five of them, there's only one team that they allowed more than 20 points against, and it was the Detroit Lions, who had one of the best offenses in all of the NFL. So it was nice to see they stepped up. The addition of Montez Sweat was important. We'll see what they can do coming into this year. Win total set at 9.5. 7-10 last year, have not won more than eight games since 2018. How about those Detroit Lions? Top guys got paid this past offseason, but we've talked about it a lot on the show. Will they still be hungry coming into 2024?
Yeah, I don't doubt this at all. I think because, you know, you get your personality from your head coach, your team does. And Campbell's not a guy to rest on his laurels. He's driven. You know, you don't drink that much coffee without having some sense of urgency, right? And so I think all that will walk. Now, I think the other key part is, will they handle the changes that are coming, right? Will they, you know, people have had a year to study them, and they'll have a year to look at them. And so I think you have to take a look at what's the adjustments people are going to make to them and how they're going to handle it. So that, to me, is more of an obstacle than actually having complacency. I don't see complacency entering. I think they have really good energy, and I do think they have a good culture, and winning's important.
And he is one of those coaches that when we first started watching Dan Campbell on Hard Knocks and he was the rah-rah guy, there were a lot of questions like we have, for example, right now with Antonio Pierce, like I think we have with Robert Saleh being that kind of rah-rah cheerleader type head coach. He has backed it up with substance and his guys believe in him. I'm a big fan of what he's been able to put together in Detroit. By the way, that coffee order for Inquiring Minds, two venti coffees with two extra added shots in each one of them. Dan Campbell is a monster, and I appreciate the caffeine game. Okay, we got to take a break here. When we come back on the Lombardi Line, we're going to continue down the NFL road talking survivor pools. Adam Burke, VSiN, managing editor here at the network, he did a full breakdown of all 18 weeks, an even deeper dive into week one, and his is a voice we should trust in this space, one of the final 13 in Circa Survivor last year. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In addition to watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content at VSiN.com. Best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips and trends, and right now on the homepage, betting previews for both the NBA and Stanley Cup Finals. Whether you're looking for series plays and props or game-by-game breakdowns as we go, VSiN.com has you covered. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And you all know we are all NFL all the time on this program, and thankfully Simon Hunter shares that sentiment as well, who joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line, professional bettor, Action Network NFL betting analyst, also host of the Favorites Pod. You can follow him on X at Simon Hunter NFL. And I didn't know that I was going to be the odd man out here in the New Jersey ties that we have. Simon, welcome in. How we doing?
Yeah, just a couple Jersey guys. I mean, luckily, we're not the Jersey Shore type you're thinking of. That's North Jersey. We're more South Jersey kind of guys.
I'm glad he clarified, right, Michael. I'm glad he clarified.
Well, you know, I listened to his pod. It's great. He and Chad Millman on the Action Network, I listened to them, and they do a wonderful job. And, you know, Simon has been around here a long time in the great state of New Jersey, so I thought it would be wonderful to get him on. So let's talk week one, Simon. Is there a game that you kind of, when the number came out, like for me, you know, when I looked at week one, I was a little bit taken back. Like, how is Chicago a 4.5-point favorite over anybody? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, if you want to jump right in on week one lines, the key to that one, though, is there are certain games you can wait on, right? So that's a game where I agree with you. Initial gut reaction is take the 4.5. But I think most professionals view that as a team you can sit on. And this line might get to 6. If Will Levis doesn't look great in preseason and, you know, the Williams is incredible with this Bears offense and Hard Knocks, this number can get to 6 by kickoff. So that's the kind of game where, yeah, your initial reaction's right, but you can be patient on those kind of games. You can wait and let the public really come in and bet that one, because this is a game where all the parlays, all the teasers, they're going to love the Bears in that number. That's just a number that's going to keep going up.
Simon, so that's interesting. Can you take us into your perspective a little bit when it comes to offseason betting the NFL? When these numbers become available and the schedule is released, are you firing on any of these games right away? Are you waiting to get through training camp and injuries and finding out who's going to go where? Like, what's your perspective on the NFL June 3rd?
Yeah, honestly, the best analogy everyone I got in the business about 10, 15 years ago was a guy said, week one, lines come out. It's like a bunch of crabs in the bucket, right? Everyone's pulling each other down, just trying to get the best number for everyone else, and the books move the number. So I would say the biggest one that jumped out to me was that Ravens-Chiefs game week one. The total opened at 49.5 in a lot of books, and the numbers moved by 3 points to the under. So the professionals like me, I came in very heavy on that opening night total where – the Ravens offense isn't going to be as good as it was last year. And the same could be said for the Chiefs, that they're going to struggle as well. So that's the kind of thing where, yeah, everyone, as soon as those kind of numbers come out, especially a primetime game like that, all the professionals come in heavy. But again, you're only able to get a couple of thousand down just because the books, they want to protect themselves. So they're not going to be taking big wages. It's really a filling out process here in the first couple of weeks.
What is your strategy in week one? For me, it's always about I always go back and look at how teams perform, the coaches more than anything. Like, I know Sean McVay doesn't practice hard, but his teams are always ready on opening day. Kyle Shanahan, he's not as great on opening day as some other teams. We saw him lose. What's your strategy when it comes to opening day? Is it just the number, or are you looking at the coaches and what they typically build their team towards?
Yeah, definitely all of it. I mean, like, really, I love playing my own numbers, so I have a model that gives me numbers, and that's really what I'm basing off of. But I like hearing all the trends, and I like talking about the different coaching styles, who has advantages early on. But definitely my view of it is always going to be, where's the value at? And usually value is going to be public perception, right? People are betting week one based off last year, which I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but it is. It's a new year. You know it is. I mean, the NFL turnover rate is so crazy. The coaching move and all of it, every year is kind of different. So that's one of those where I kind of play off last year. Like, an easy one to me, week one, you're taking the Colts at home against Houston. They're a divisional dog at home in week one, where Houston is just, giving themselves the amount of flowers you can't believe. I mean, CJ is out here doing podcasts saying that he's a top 5 quarterback in the league. You can't get bigger heads right now. So that's an easy position of, I love Shane Steichen. I love the Colts. I love that they played so well against Houston last year with Minshew. And now they have a freak athlete coming in, Richardson, that's just, teams are only not a pair for him because he had so much little film on him last year. So that's a big one for me where the professionals love the Colts week one. The public, Joe Schmo, they love Houston week one.
Well, and the betting market shows that as well, because Stroud's tied for the second shortest shot with Josh Allen to be the regular season MVP this year. So the head's just going to continue to get bigger on that standpoint. Simon Hunter joining us, professional bettor and Action Network NFL betting analyst on the Progressive guest line here. You mentioned the word value, and I feel like in betting, that's the word that is constantly coming up because we're all trying to find that value on the board, whether it be game by game or in the futures market. When it comes to these divisions or season win totals, is there any team in your mind that is undervalued at this point still available in the market?
Yeah, there's a bunch. I'll start negative so we can end on a happy note. Okay. So I'll start with my team to fade. This is going against a lot of what people are going to hear this whole summer, but it's to me, it's one of the easiest bets out there. It's the under on Green Bay 9.5. And it's just, people are just loving too much with Jordan Love because he played really well for half a season. If you go back and look, things just broke their way for them to get to the playoffs, where they played Carolina and they just snuck by. They beat them by 3. Then they played a Vikings team in their fifth quarterback. Then they ended on the Bears. And then in the playoffs, they played a Dallas team that, let's face it, I mean, Jordan Love played well, but that really was a Dak falling apart. And they caught a 49ers team kind of sleep at the wheel. So right now, everyone you talk to is all in on Green Bay, Jordan Love, and just they love this team, where to me, it's too quick. It's too many things broke right. I don't think he's as great as people perceive. He is very talented, but that is a young team overall. And that's the division. I don't think it's going to be as bad as it was last year. I think it's gotten better. And their schedule will be tougher as well because they did make the playoffs. So that's a team to me. You can get at a plus number right now, under 9.5 on Green Bay. That's right away where I want to start, where that's a team that's just, they got there too early and teams are going to overreact. 4 teams from last year's playoffs are going to miss the playoffs. That's a given. They just really fit that bill of a team that will regress just because they overextended what they should have done last year.
How about the positive side? Who do you think is undervalued?
I mean, people are going to love this. Let's head up to New York. I mean, I love both New York teams. We'll start with the Jets. They're going to have the really nice break of an easy schedule. If you look at it, I think they're going to lose week one. So you can wait if you do want to bet their futures. I do have the 49ers beating them week one. You know, that's just a tough spot to put Aaron Rodgers in his first game back on the road Monday night in a place he struggled against the San Francisco 49ers. But then look at their next 5 games. It's pretty winnable. And if that team can get out to a 5-1 lead, I don't even care if Rodgers goes down eventually. They brought in Tyrod Taylor as a backup. All you need is a game manager in that team. I mean, the weapons they have on offense, I know their offensive line has a lot of veterans and young guys. If they can put it together and stay healthy, I just think that this team has a ton of value based on schedule, the weakness in their division. It's just all there for this 1 year for this Jets team. So you can get their over right now at a plus number. I like that team to – last year I wanted to fade them because I just knew there was too much hype. This year, I think it just all sets up well. But even if Aaron Rodgers half the man he used to be, that's the best quarterback they've had since – I mean, what, 40 years? I mean, let's be serious about this Jets franchise. So I'm really excited for their upside this season.
You said both New York teams, though. So, yeah, I need to hear your sales pitch for the Giants.
I know it's people just don't want to believe it because, again, it's based off what they saw last year. But this team had a season from hell, and this random Jersey kid, this 22-year-old, who should be, you know, working at a pizzeria, came out there and won them a couple of games. Like, this team will be so much better once Daniel Jones is back. And now they have Davis. I think Hyatt slept on their wide receivers, another really good on the outside. People are raising the Barkley departure as well. Like, we've seen it time and time again. These running backs don't really move the needles unless they're going to a great team. So Barkley, big upgrade for the Eagles, but I don't think it's that big of a loss for this Giants team. So to me, Daniel Jones, too much is being put on him for being a bust and not being that great. He's on his second contract here, and I think this is a big year for him where he knows this is it, right? He's got to produce this year, got to get him back to the playoffs, or he is going to be most likely moved on from. So, again, 6.5 plus number on the over. It's just a team I'm really excited about, the Giants, that I think everyone likes a new toy in Washington, where the Giants is where I get the value. It's a team that underperformed last year. Now they're healthy, and as bad as Daniel Jones people make him out to be, Dabo knows how to set him up in the system that he can play well in it. So that's another team I'm just really excited about.
Simon, we're up against it, but expect us to bug you more this offseason.
You like the Giants in week one, I take it then too, huh?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. What a time to be alive. I know you said you're not a Jersey Shore guy, but Jim Tan Laundry isn't a bad life. We appreciate you, Simon. Talk to you soon.
Great job, Simon. Thank you.
DraftKings.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time. Saddle up for action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when you use the promo code VSINHORSE. That's all one word, VSINHORSE, VSINHORSE. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses. Then you can watch the races live inside the app. Download the DK Horse app today. Welcome back to VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you here on the Lombardi Line. And the New York Jets are in the news each and every day. We are excited and ready to go for year two of the Aaron Rodgers experience, and prayers up. It goes longer than four plays this time around. To help us break it all down, we welcome in Jets reporter for the New York Post, Brian Costello, on the Progressive Guest Line at Brian Koz on XCOZ. And Brian, Jets fans are ready to get hurt again, aren't they?
always. It's June, though. There's optimism if the Jets land in June always. The hurt comes later in the year.
Yeah, no question. As I always say, Dean Martin had a great line about people that didn't drink. He said, you know, when you don't drink, when you wake up, that's the best you're going to feel all day. And I say this about Jet fans. When they wake up on Sunday morning, that's the best they're going to feel all day. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about my man, my favorite head coach in the NFL, Robert Saleh. It's reported to me that he's going to be more involved with the offense. I'd like to hear your commentary on that. And I find it really hard to believe that they would trade for a guy that they didn't even have contact with and discuss the contract information beforehand. Your thoughts?
Yeah. On Hassan Reddick first, I agree with you. I don't understand how this wasn't worked out beforehand. Now, look, we haven't heard from Reddick yet. Although we talked to him once in April, and he kind of gave my agents handling that, I'm not worried about it. So, you know, mandatory minicamps next week. I'd expect to see him there. We'll see what he says there. You know, about the contract situation, but he hasn't been at any of the voluntary portion. So I think he's looking for something. He, you know, obviously that's why he was traded from the Eagles, is he wanted a new contract there. You know, the Jets could maybe do something, sweeten his contract a little bit with guaranteed money or some incentives or something. They're not going to give him a long-term deal though, I don't think. In terms of Saleh with the offense, you know, to me, this is one of those stories that we talk about in May and June. Like, you know, is it going to have any effect in the season? I doubt it. I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the key to the offense, not Robert Saleh. It's good, I guess, that he's getting more involved in the offensive side of the ball, but I feel like I've heard this 1,000 times, going back to Rex Ryan was going to be more involved in the offense, or Todd Bowles was going to be more involved in the offense, or Adam Gase was going to be more involved in the defense. Like, this is what we do with teams that are struggling and head coaches that are in their third or fourth year and trying to figure it out. We say, oh, they're going to do this or that. And I think, you know, I don't think there's a lot of much effect on the football product. I think the offense, the key for the offense is number eight, not who's in the coaching room.
You know, Brian, a big question that I've had about this Jets team coming into the season is what's the bar? Like, what is genuinely a successful season that's going to keep this staff around for another year, that's going to bring them back? Yeah. Is it a playoff win? Is it a conference championship? Is it really genuinely Super Bowl or bust and they're all out? What's your perception?
Yeah, I think, you know, you have to keep in mind, this team hasn't made the playoffs in 13
years. Yeah.
So having a playoff berth is an accomplishment. But I've learned, kind of doing this for a while, it's how it looks, right? I go back to Eric Mandini's last year with the Jets. They started off 8-3. That was the year they had Brett Favre. 8-3, hopes got really high. This team was going to the Super Bowl. Favre got hurt. State kept playing. They ended up finishing the season 9-7. Mangini got fired. You wouldn't have predicted he was going to get fired off of a 9-7 season. There, they just missed the playoffs. So it's kind of how it looks. Like, if they start off amazing and hopes get really, really high and they collapse toward the end of the season, and even if they just, you know, they squeak into the playoffs that way, then there's probably gonna be changes made. If they start slow and then they come on hard at the end of the season and barely squeak in the playoffs, I think the perception is different. So it's sort of how it looks, I think, to me. I don't think there's a set thing you can say, oh, they have to win a playoff game, or they have to get to the championship game or anything like that. And I certainly don't think it's get to the Super Bowl. I mean, this team is, you know, let's take baby steps. They have 13 years without a playoff berth. A playoff berth will be an accomplishment for them this season. But I definitely think it's kind of how it unfolds will tell the story of who's back for 2025.
Brian, I reported back 2 weeks before free agency that the Eagles were all over were all over Huff, right? They wanted him. That was their target. And then about a week before free agency, I reported that they probably were going to get a deal done with them. And everybody in the league knew it, okay? Except, obviously, Joe Douglas, because the Jets didn't franchise him. And then he became a free agent. He immediately signed with Philadelphia. And then he trades a third-round pick for Haason Reddick. And yet, why wouldn't they have franchised Huff and protected their third-round pick? And now they get a guy whose contract is up and wants more money. Like, at some point, when does Douglas get called on the carpet for being general manager 101?
I think it's a cash issue, Mike. I think that's what it was. I think that's coming from the owner, not necessarily Joe Douglas. I don't think, Woody Johnson wanted to spend on Bryce Huff. And I think that's where they landed. And so, yes, it's a third round pick. It's a 2026 third round pick. So it's down the road, and who knows who's going to be the general manager that doesn't have that pick, in 2026. So to me, this was about, cash this season. Yes, Reddick's in the last year of his deal. He's getting $14 million this year. The franchise tag, I can't remember what it was. It was 23, I think 22, 23 for a defensive end.
But he could have tagged him and traded him. Brian, he could have tagged him and traded him. He could have tagged him and said to Howie, "Hey, Howie, trade me Reddick. I'll take Reddick. I'll trade you Huff. You work out it." They already had worked out a deal with Huff. He knew it. I knew it. I'm sitting in Ocean City and I knew it. Like, how does he not know it?
No, I think he knew it. I just don't think the Jets were going to meet the number that Huff got from Philadelphia. I don't think they were going to go that high. I think it just came down to a cash issue. I think that's what it was.
Jets beat reporter for the New York Post, Brian Costello, joining us on the Progressive guest line here on the Lombardi line. So we also have a running joke with the Jets that we call them the Ifers, because if everyone stays healthy, this team could be unbelievable. But there are massive questions. You have a 40-plus-year-old quarterback coming off of an Achilles injury. Yes, you upgrade the offensive line, but what's the health of Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, Mike Williams, Breece Hall? There are so many questions about this team's health. What's the latest from that perspective that you can share with us? Because I saw Breece had a little bit of a tweak and how Rodgers is looking right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Breece thing I wouldn't be concerned about in June. He's off to the side running. It must be something. He probably has some tightness or something, but I wouldn't be worried about that. Rodgers looks like Rodgers. He looks great, and it's June. I mean, he should look great in the OTA practices, so I'm not going crazy about that, but he is moving around. He looks good. But the big part is the offensive line. You already can see it. Like, Elijah Vera Tucker is coming off the Achilles. He's not ready to practice yet. Morgan Moses isn't practicing right now. Tyron Smith sat out yesterday's practice. My question is this group going to get any time together in training camp or in the preseason to get to know each other and build some chemistry? Or is this going to be sort of like last year, where the first week of the season is the first time they're going to be on the field together? And I don't think that's a good recipe at that position. I think they need time to build continuity, and it's not there. And I'll give you the flip side too, of if they stay healthy thing. The Jets have stayed healthy on defense in recent years, right? At some point, the luck is going to change on the defense too. And some of those defensive players might miss some games. So, it's a huge question mark, I think, for every team health, but really for the Jets, it is the question mark going into the season. Can they stay healthy?
One other guy, how about Mike Williams? His numbers have been declining over the last 2 years, and his health has been declining. What's he look like? I'm sure he's standing next to Tyron Smith working on the bicycle too, but what's the projection for him?
Yeah, we haven't seen him on the field at all. I haven't even actually seen him on the bike. Like, I haven't even seen him outside. I think he's inside the trainer's room. they won't commit to saying, he's going to be ready for training camp. They won't commit to that, so we'll see. I think that could be a while. I wouldn't be shocked if he starts training camp on the PUP list and they work him in at some point. But yeah, he's coming off of an ACL. I think it was September, October. He suffered it last year. It was fairly early in the season. But he's going to be 30 years old, and that's not an easy injury to come back to at that age. People saw Breece last year, came back from it smoothly, but he's a younger guy. So yeah, Mike Williams is a huge question mark to me, and that's a signing that it's all going to depend on if he can get on the field and can stay on the field. I'm not so sure about that one.
Brian, we've only got about 20 seconds, but do you think it was wise for CJ Stroud to poke the Aaron Rodgers bear this week?
It's fun. I can't wait to see Aaron. I can't wait to ask him about it. I was wishing we could get him yesterday to ask him about it. But, you know, and it gives us, they play on Halloween. So yep. That's going to be a fun storyline that week to talk about for sure. So as a beat writer, yes.
Well, we will be paying attention to your reporting next time you get to talk to Aaron. Keep up all of the great work. Really appreciate your time.
Great work, all Brian. Right, thanks, guys. Welcome anytime. Thank you.
Brian Costello. Follow him on X again, at Brian Coz, C-O-Z. Quick timeout on the other side of the break. Why the Miami Dolphins should be concerned for 2024 and what's on Michael's mind.